Okay, the second epistle of John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwells in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is the love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet you. Amen. Short one, huh? But there's some meat in there. There's some good stuff in here. We've talked for years and years and years that these are all parables. Symbolism. There's things hidden through all this language that we have to pay attention to. And I saw something this morning I'd never seen before out of the hundreds of times I've been through this passage of Scripture. And something kicked, and I went and looked at something else and it jumped out at me, and we'll share it as we get back to it. Okay. The elder unto the elect lady. Who's the elder, you think? You think they're really just talking of John? Mm-hmm. Who would John represent?
The Christ.
The Christ. And the elect lady, who do we think that is?
Church.
That is you. That is the true church. Okay? Not the man's organization out here, you know, with stained glass windows and padded pews and sharp pointy things on top. That's not the church. The called out church is the people, and that's the ones we're talking about. That's the elect lady. I call it the third day lady. Okay? The first 2 days are, the book, as Isaiah said, the first 2 days they hear nothing at all. So I call her the third day lady. And her children. Well, who would her children be?
Her thoughts.
Excuse me?
Her thoughts.
Our first fruits. Yeah, the lady that grew up mature, her children would be first fruits, ones coming behind her.
Seed.
Her seed, which would be her first fruit. Whom I love in the truth, right? These children, and actually the word actually says in children, it said to produce children. You know, the seed produces what?
Like kind.
So if she's the elect lady, she's the chosen one, these first ones that God has, this is a pattern, the ones that are chosen by God, they produce themselves, don't they? If we are like God, God produced from himself, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
See, so if we are like him, guess what we got to do? We've got to produce too. We're not talking about natural, we're talking about spiritual, right? We should be producing these spiritual things. These other children. And he said, we love them in the truth. And what is the truth? Christ. Didn't Jesus say, I am the truth? But that was the Christ in him speaking, wasn't it? And not only I, but also all the ones that have known the truth. What is the truth?
Love.
The Christ. The ones who have known Christ. Not went to church and said, I'm sorry, and baptized me in water or anything. That's not knowing Christ. Knowing Christ is knowing His Spirit and knowing His truth. Okay? And we'll get back to that in a little bit. Okay? About knowing this truth. Verse 2. Because the truth, or through the truth, which dwells... Or the one through the truth, the one that dwells within us. Who is the truth that dwells within us?
Christ.
Wonder what this message is about.
The Christ in you.
The Christ in you. And not shall, but will be what? In the midst of us for how long?
Always.
Well, the language actually says into the ages. Throughout the ages. How's that? There is no end to it. We could say eternity, forever, a lot of those words, but those words don't have the real meaning as that it's what the Greek language has for that right there. In throughout the ages. Verse 3 goes on to say grace. And what is grace? It's the divine influence that God in you has in your heart or in your thought process, your spirit, okay? And a reflection of that into your lifestyle, the way you live your life. So, how many people do you think are walking on the earth today that says, oh, I'm a Christian. I love God. But their lifestyle doesn't portray it. Doesn't make any difference where they're at. See what I mean? If we are truly sons of God, does saying you're a son of God or child of God, does it make you a child of God?
No.
Well, let me clarify something. We're all children of the Most High God. But are we an obedient child or are we a disobedient child? It's the only difference. But to be an obedient child of God, what must I do?
Act like
him. There you go. Okay. I can't act like the world and be an obedient child of God, can I? Right? I can't do that. I've got to realize that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If I really think I'm a man of God, how do I have to live? See, that's not an option. That's not a, well, I'll do it whichever way I want to. That's not my will. I'm talking about His will, right? It changes the way you live your life. If you really believe, and this thing about believing, we're not done with it yet, and this truth thing, I mean, there's more stuff that's going to come later that I don't want to get ahead of myself. The conclusions later on, okay? But the grace within us, it's that divine influence and a reflection into our lifestyle. And it's in the midst of you, okay? He said, grace is in the midst. The only thing grace can do for me is when it is in the midst of me, in the center of me, in my spirit, it will make me change. Is that true or false? Which one is it?
That's true.
It's true. Nothing external will change you. It's only the internal that can change. The external is flesh, and there's a destiny for flesh. The dust returns to the earth from where it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. The only thing that's eternal is the spirit. This flesh stuff, the external stuff, means nothing. It's just a suit to get us through this journey. A suit of armor, that's all it is.
That Christ is your source.
He's my whole source and everything. And if, remember what the book says, a double-minded man is what?
Unstable in all.
Okay, now, if I am walking as a child of God, and I'm saying this is what most of the church world does, they walk out there as a child of God, they say, but the next minute they're acting just like the world, and you couldn't shake them out apart, could you? They act just like the world. They can justify lying, stealing, you know, anything that you could think of that would be a negative force that would not be betrayed by the Christ. You know, they do it. But they say, oh, I'm saved. What does that mean? They think saved. Well, everybody in the world's been saved. He died on the cross to save who? whole world. All. So if that's the case, then everybody is saved, but everybody has not been delivered yet, have they? Their thinking process is still erroneous. They're still thinking they're the Adam man.
Wouldn't that be much better than saying that they all were saved, they were all birthed?
Well, they were all saved by the Christ. And the book says that. And under the context, the way he did it, he saved them. And people say, well, what were they saved from? They were saved from themselves, from their own thinking process. He did that. You know, he saved them from the natural fate. But now we have to be delivered from our thinking process. Because when we mix our thinking process with the truth of God, all we're doing is creating more Babylon. Religious confusion. A mixture. And that's what Babylon is, a religious mixture. And whenever we put our thoughts in and say, well, I know what it says, but I kind of think I like it better this way. What am I doing? I'm creating more Babylon in myself.
You're
poisoning. Sure. It's that critical that we have to make a decision somewhere in our life. I'm not going there anymore. I can't do this anymore. I have to walk the straight and narrow. And how many examples did he give about the straight path, the narrow path?
As long as it doesn't put you in bondage, you're all right.
Sure. But most people...
If it puts you in bondage, then you're still walking under the law.
You're still working in Babylon. I didn't finish 3, did I?
No, you got grace.
Okay, I got grace in the midst of you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Well, in truth, and I think the word truth and love are almost synonymous. If you could hear what I'm saying. Because He is truth and He is love. So wouldn't those words be synonymous in an essence?
Characteristics.
Well, that's the characteristics of the Spirit of God, and God is Spirit.
Yeah, those characteristic traits.
Sure, it is. So it's His DNA. Can't be changed. See? Our DNA, I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about spiritual. Our DNA is the same thing as God. We came from God. But we have to believe that what God has done for us has brought us back to where we started with Him. And we don't have to wait till we die, like it says in Ecclesiastes, to get back to Him. We can get back to that center line now.
You know, the great thing is we never moved.
No, we thought we did. That's what I'm trying to say. But we can go back, because when our mind clarifies, this has all been a smokescreen created by that other voice we listen to in our head. The one that tells us to go ahead and do whatever you want to. It don't make any difference. Well, then God was stupid then. That's what they're saying. I'm not saying He's stupid. I'm saying that the world and the church realm says God's stupid because it doesn't matter.
The cosmos thinking. Yeah.
That's cosmos thinking. Just all mixed up.
That's even if we don't watch it, that can be our thinking.
We can get back in it very easy if we don't watch it. Okay? And verse 4 says, I rejoice greatly, not that, but because I found your children. He's saying, because I found your children walking, not walking, but what? Living in truth. In what? In Christ. Is that not right? You could say in truth, in love, or in Christ. They're all the same, aren't they? Are they not synonymous words? Huh?
Yeah.
Do you see that they're all synonymous?
It's descriptive
of the same thing. They're all the characteristics, the DNA of God.
It's describing the character of God.
Right. As we have received a commandment from the Father. See? To walk in the truth, or to live in the truth. And now, not beseech, but I ask you, lady, or third day lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the what? Well, didn't Jesus say He was the beginning? Huh? Okay, so where'd we get that commandment? the Christ within us. Not that, see, they're making everybody think, well, God came down and said, here's a commandment, listen to me. That's not what it was. It's a commandment that's within us all the time. It's never been without us, has it? We've never been without it. Everybody that's came to the earth has this commandment inside, but they don't listen. You remember what Jesus said in John 10? My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow.
He also said, he'll open the ears to hear.
And he opens the ears to hear. If he doesn't open their ears, can we be upset with him?
Nope.
Well, we can if we're not listening. Then we can get upset with people. But we shouldn't. Should we? We shouldn't be upset with them. If they have no capacity to hear and see yet, why should we be upset? Is it our plan that be that way?
That's because we're still trying to be God.
It's God. If we try to make people listen to what we're saying and hear what we're saying, we can share with them. If they can't hear it, that's fine. But if we try to force the issue, then just like Lois just said, we're trying to become God ourselves. Trying to be God. We're trying to make things happen. Instead of getting out of the way and letting God do what He wants in His own time. But the commandment that we heard from the Christ, the beginning, that we love who?
Each other.
All. And this is the love, and it's the unconditional agape love, that we live according to His commandment. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the Christ, you should live. Okay? You should live in it. In what?
Love.
The love. It's not that difficult, but yet it's hard for some people to understand because He hasn't given the spiritual eyes and ears to hear and see. And then it's kind of strange because He throws this verse in, boom, about an Antichrist. But see, is it not all tied together? The non-believers, or the people who say they are right in the midst of us. It says, because many deceivers, and that's really religious imposters, are entered into the cosmos, man's orderly arrangement. The ones that acknowledge not that Jesus Christ is come in flesh. This is not a, but the deceiver and the Antichrist. See, so they have to be, they've gone out from amongst us, John said, into the world, into the orderly arrangement of man. When we started, were we not walking in Adam?
They didn't leave anywhere.
Well, I know, but let me explain what I'm saying. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, were they not in the presence of God? They had the protection of God. But they did not want to believe what He went. And God, so God put them out of the garden. It was just a symbol of people not wanting to do it God's way, but they wanted to do it their own way. But God used that as a symbol to show us something. People were in the presence of God. When we came in this world as little children, do you think we had ever done anything wrong? We hadn't done anything, had we? But still, our influence came from people who were in the world. Is that not true? The adults in the world. Children don't know how to hate when they're born. Do they? They learn racial bigotry and hatred. They learn all these things after they've grown up. They've saw other things and heard things from adults around them and other children around them. And, you know, we didn't know that stuff when we started. We were innocent. Until we learn the ways of the world. And they've been so blended into the church system that we think that's the way God thinks. God's not double-minded, is He? Not that way. And I like this next verse. It says, look to yourselves. Do you think that's really what it says? Look at yourself. It's a preposition, but look at yourselves. In order that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And that word "a" and the word "reward" is the same word. They use it twice in this writing. But anyway, it literally means whether a good or bad one. Whatever you got coming, that's what you're going to get. But it means a good or bad reward. And I want to move right on into that next one. All the ones that transgresses or literally goes too far and abides not in the doctrine of who? Christ. Has not God, the ones that abide in the doctrine of Christ, has both the Father and the Son. Correct? Verse 10. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine. What doctrine? Doctrine of love, absolutely. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, because the one that, excuse me what I'm doing here just a minute. I passed over something, I wanted to say something. I'm going to go back to verse 10 again. If there any of them come unto you and bring not this doctrine of love, the same as verse 5, right? That doctrine of love. Receive him not into your house, neither say to him Godspeed or a greeting or salutation. Don't even greet or have conversation with people who are going the opposite direction from where you're going. If they're religious, we're talking about religious. We're not talking about worldly people. We're talking about religious people that are teaching a doctrine other than the doctrine of love in Christ. Because that's the center focus of God, isn't it? The love.
Don't agree with them.
Don't have deep conversation with them because they're just going to twist the words back at you.
Now, do you think that's internal? I mean, if you got that thought process, because we were just talking about look to yourselves in verse 8. And if we look at that, and if there's one comes to you, because we know the Antichrist spirit is in us. And if the thought process comes, if there's one that comes to you, a thought process bringing out love, don't take that thing into you.
Yes.
Don't agree with that.
You don't have to agree with it. Let's say everything can have multiple understandings to it, but yes, it's internal. Right?
Yeah, because we were just talking about what to yourself.
So, let me don't agree with that cosmos thing.
That orderly arrangement is trying to converse with you.
Trying to get
Antichrist.
You to get even, and all those, yeah, Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Cosmos,
well,
so it'd be about the same thing. Yeah.
Remember what I said about the voices?
Yeah.
You know, my sheep hear my voice.
And
others don't.
The other one.
He don't hear it.
Teacher.
But where's that voice coming from?
Internal.
Internal. Probably one of the greatest revelations there is understanding that this book is an internal book. Everything he's talking about, can there be an external example? Yep, that's what keeps the first two covenants busy. In their confusion, in their physical realm that they understand things in, that's where they're at. But to come to this third day, to understand this thing as an totally internal, is the only way we can come free. The only way we can come free. Okay?
But wouldn't that be kind of like, say this, if you took like a picture form, if you took like a can, and there'd been a bunch of them inside a can,
mm-hmm.
and they're watching out at nighttime for the enemy outside.
External.
And it's inside, slitting their throats.
But the Trojan horse is already in there.
And they don't even know it. They're saying, mm-hmm. watch out for out there, and it's slitting their throat right there.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
And it's creating fear tactics.
Well, they're afraid of the external, but it's the internal that'll do them in.
And that's where the church is misleading the people now. That's why they're getting so upset and leaving that organization, is because they keep telling them to look for that thing out there. The devil's going to get you. If you do that, and they're not teaching them that
it's internal.
It's internal, and it has been all along.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I agree with you. Because they don't know. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 2 about the on the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And when they wanted wine, mother says, they have no wine.
Yeah. Mm. It was in six water pots, which is the number of man. And
nine gallons in each one, the gifts. So,
yeah.
It's all there.
So it's all in you.
It's all internal. It's everything he implies to is an internal message, internal everything. And yet, the church can't see it, so they're where they are. Okay? Verse 11, aren't we? Because the one that says to him, not bids him, but says to him a greeting or salutation is what? Sharing his what? Evil deeds. It's poneros. It's evil or wicked deeds.
So as a man thinks in his heart.
So is he.
If he's thinking carnal thoughts, that's what he's going to give.
Carnal stuff.
Yeah.
Just carnal stuff back at
he's
you.
He's going to acknowledge that and it's going to run with it.
Verse 12, he goes on saying, having many things to write to you, I desire not with paper and ink, but I trust or I expect to come to you and face you and speak to you face to face in order that our joy, cross out the word may, in order that our joy be complete. And it says, the children of thy elect sister greet you or welcome you. Amen. So be it. Now, there was one thing I didn't say that I want to go back to. And if you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
2 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. Yeah. This is the one I want to show you. I wrote something down here in the bottom. If you look at my book up here, you see it's yellow sticky here?
Yeah.
I wrote down a verse that went with this. And I've read this verse so many times that I never understood what I saw this morning. And I just wrote down, wow. How many times can you read something and not see it as plain as it literally is? Okay? Let me read this to you again. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound, it says, but it should say, we owe thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, or beloved by the Lord, because God has from the beginning... Where? From Christ. Who is the beginning, right? Chosen you, what? To be delivered is what it should say. He chose you to be delivered. Okay? Through the sanctification of the Spirit. And now here's how he chose you. This is what I never saw it in so plain as I saw it this morning. He chose you to be delivered through the sanctification of the Spirit. What have you got to do with that? Absolutely nothing. And believing the truth. Not belief of the truth, but believing the truth. How can you believe if God hasn't given you the ears or the eyes to see and hear? It's impossible, isn't it? That's amazing. It's the only way. This is how you know God has chosen you, when He has given you this ability that you've been sanctified by the Spirit. And if most of the church don't know what sanctified means, it means to be set apart. Does that mean you're in the same place everybody else is?
No.
Do Do you think Jesus was set apart? Huh? Absolutely was. How many friends do you think he had? Not very many. So you're not going to have a big crowd of people. You're not going to have a lot of people in this ballpark because they don't understand you. It's not his time yet to bring everybody back in. And if we, being children chosen through the Spirit of God by the sanctification of the Spirit and by believing the truth that he gives to us through revelation, if we're there, what do you think our responsibility would be next? I'm not talking about just loving people. That's not. There's something else.
You've got to walk it.
Well, we got to walk it. One more thing I'm trying to think of.
Finding
you think,
out more about the truth of the
day. Do what?
Finding out more about the truth.
Well, it'll drive you to find more out. But what I'm really trying to look at is what the elect lady, what did she do?
For children.
There you go.
Produce more children.
So what are we supposed to do?
Plant seeds.
To produce more children.
Water and plants.
There's some of us will be planting and some of us will be watering, but God will give the increase. See, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Making the process, the part that we can do, all we can do is do what he's given us to do. How many times have you heard me say, I'm a seed sower? I know I'm a seed sower. It's not my place to make the seed grow. I don't have that ability. Only God has that ability. But I know I'm out here to sow seed and this go on. And God will bring the increase. Somebody will come along and water it. That's not my place, you know. All I've got to do is what I'm comfortable with what God gave me. And I don't have any problem. I don't want anything else other than what he wants for me. And nobody can tell you what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? Do you hear me? Nobody can tell you what you should be doing except the God, the Christ within you. Does that make sense to you? Okay. You've got to make this relationship with God a personal relationship. And when you do, you'll have no doubt, no problem understanding the fact of what he wants you to do. You'll know it. Nobody has to tell you. And if somebody tries to tell you what to do, you can probably smirk at them a little bit and walk on. Because you know they're not telling you the truth. God, I've heard prophecies make your hair stand up.
So it's sanctification or purification of the Spirit. We don't have nothing to do with that.
No, that's up to God. He makes the choice.
That's all him.
Didn't he say in Ephesians? Was Ephesians chapter 1, he said, you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world? Or the conception?
I have a reference written out from this verse in Thessalonians of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4.
Okay. We can go there and look at it. Hebrews
2 and 4.
2 and 4. God also bearing them witness both with signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Yep. You can also look at James 1 and 18.
You can also look at
1 Corinthians 12 and 11.
The verses right above Hebrews. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Deliverance.
Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him.
Mm-hmm. That's the same thing we're saying. This is all being tied together. It said in James 1 and 18, said, he begat us through his own will.
Well, when you speak the truth that he awakened you to someone that's not been awakened to, and I know you've experienced
it. Huh?
I mean, they look at you
like a deer in the headlights.
Nuts.
Yep. But see, if you hear him, it doesn't make any difference what somebody thinks about you, does it?
The one that hits me, because I was sharing with a lady the other day, and she said, oh, but Lois, you don't understand. We are still sinners saved by grace.
No, we're
sin
not.
Every day. I said, well, I don't.
No, I can't.
There's no sin.
Nope. And see, they don't understand that because they've never had that relationship with the Christ. They've heard a preacher say things. That's what's wrong with it.
What she said theologically, it contradicts itself.
Sure does.
You have to be saved every day.
Constantly every day, not just once a day.
You can be in fear, but wondering.
Your flesh is always straight up if you listen to that sucker.
You'd have to be saved and baptized hundreds of times every day.
Probably be every hour.
Minutes, seconds. I mean, how minute can we get it down to? Milliseconds. I mean,
just
our mind.
Just water until I get all shriveled up.
But they're not thinking. You see that thing she sent to me about the little girl doing that? It was so much easier to believe before I started thinking. Did you see that one? And that is so truthful. Guys, but people look at that. They can't even look at that and see anything in it.
You can't think of the truth if you're not awakened to it.
No.
So they don't know.
If he doesn't create the hearing ear and seeing eye.
What gets me is the bondage and of the mind
that they live in.
And I'm like, oh my. So I might put a little bit more in, and then whenever I keep seeing that. They're just getting offended
on this. Just let them go. Like the guy down in Tennessee, the guy said something to me because I had shorts on Sunday morning. My God, he said, you're free. I said, yeah, I am. That was a long time ago. And he said, boy, I wish I was free as you. And I pulled my knife out of my pocket, opened it up, and reached over and grabbed his pants leg, and he took off running. He said, oh, I can't do that. And I said, well, I was going to set you free. You don't have to do nothing. I was just going to cut your pants legs off. He said, oh, I can't do that. Well, you know what? They like. I told him right then. I said, "You like them chains on you, don't you?" They already thought they was free.
It's in there. You got to wear your best.
Yeah, got to wear your best on Sunday. I had a Baptist preacher tell me that. Huh?
Show me.
I asked him, man. He said, "Well, it's in there somewhere." I said, "Yeah, I've heard that one before too, but I can't find it. Can't find it."
Where it says we are. But we are bound to give thanks always to God.
We owe thanks to God.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. Are bound. It's saying right there. It says to owe or to be under obligation.
Yeah, same thing. We're under obligation. We owe thanks to Him because of what He's done for us.
Yeah, I think I get a better understanding if you're under obligation.
Well, but see, under obligation still kind of points to
law.
Points to the laws. Why? That's why I went away from that.
Yeah,
it kind of points to the law.
You're right. That speaks more
of the law.
If you're not thankful.
Yeah.
And it's not that at all.
It's like what we talked about being the love slave.
Yeah. But it's a voluntary love.
Really
with every intent, you want to serve.
You willingly serve because it's what you want to do.
So that's willingly
under
obligation.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you can't be under obligation willingly.
So,
I don't think. That would kind of contradict. That's why I say you owe him that. From what he's done for, we owe him that. He didn't ask us to do it. But it should be in our heart to give that.
I got to get away from that he and that.
Well, honey, you have to speak it. If you don't speak it, you can't work it out. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to have the conversation because words mean something, and that's where we get strung out in our conversation to people. If we can't explain and express where I feel, then I shouldn't be talking.
Well, I think leading people into thinking that there is a he is misleading.
In what? In what manner? He is a masculine form used for generality in our language. Okay, and we're talking about God as a masculine, not as a person, but as a masculine entity. Okay, because He's the one that fathered us. Okay, and that is it takes a masculine to father, doesn't it? Okay, that's all we're saying. I think you're holding too much on to.
You could change it around. He gave birth to us, which could be feminine.
Well, but he used the female side to bring it about. That's what he shows about the soul. But that's what I'm saying. We can get hung up too much on the etymologies of the word and everything, and that's not necessarily the right thing to do. sometimes...
Well, I think I'm using... Is that all?
No.
I think I'm using that terminology of how we wouldn't call electricity a he or
no.
a she.
Nope. And I don't call God a power either. And some people have adversity to even calling God a God. You know, they want to call it that woo-woo power out there somewhere. Everybody has their own design way of doing it. And if you feel comfortable going that way, who am I to tell you not to? But I'm saying, I understand that God is the masculine, God is the Father, okay? So when I use the word He, I'm talking about my Father. And I don't have any problem saying that to anybody. He's my Father, okay? Now, can you? Did that help you any? I'm trying to.
You said you had no trouble with anybody that wanted to use it the other way.
That they can do what they want to,
right.
But it's a. If you use everything according to your own understanding, nobody else understands you. To communicate with people, we have to come to a common language. Is that not true? Even the book says, you know, when the trumpet sounded, if it's not sounded with a sound that is understandable to people, how will they know what to do when the trumpet sounds? That's even all the way from the Old Testament. It's saying we need to talk on a common language, okay? When we say tree, we have to know that a tree is that out there. This isn't a tree right here. Okay? We have to know. And if we talk with our own understanding of words, we can't communicate what we're trying to say to somebody else, and they just can't understand us. And it's our responsibility as children of the elect lady, we should be able to communicate, should we not? Shouldn't we be able to communicate?
If they have ears to hear.
I'm not concerned about that. I'm saying I need to be able to communicate. If I don't know what communication is, you're not hearing me. If I know what communication is and I don't communicate it in a way that should be understood by someone who knows anything about communications, if I do it my own way versus the way our communications process is set up, then how could I expect anybody to understand me? I got to make it some uniform pattern to what I'm saying. I'm not saying truth. I'm talking about the way you convey that truth. Okay? The way you communicate it has to have some common form, does it not? Does that make sense to you? Well, no. If you don't agree with me. I'm trying to show you something.
That there's different individuals that you talk to communicate with. You can have 10, 15 people, mm-hmm. and each person you communicate with them differently.
To some degree, but you still have a common language. We're talking in English, we're talking a common language. And so when I use a word in English, it means the same thing. I can't use it in 15 different people, 15 different ways, is what I'm saying. You got to know what it means, so when I communicate to that person, I'm still communicating the same message to each one of them. I'm not trying to change the words around to mean something different. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. Well, if it doesn't, I don't want you to just agree with me. I want you to just talk it out. Okay? Anybody else got anything you want to ask about it? Say about it? Okay. Deceivers?
Yeah, the Antichrist. I was doing some other stuff and
it's okay. The first word for really is the word gar, which means because. Many deceivers or religious imposters are entered into the cosmos, into the religious thinking process, you know, the natural process.
Okay.
The ones that acknowledge not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. The word a deceiver and an Antichrist are both indefinite articles, and those are definite articles in there. Okay.
That confess not is acknowledged.
Does not acknowledge that he's coming afresh. How many people you know in church today that says, Jesus is coming back someday?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. They're saying that he's not come back in the flesh, that he's not made his appearance in you.
That's what we understand, that that's what it means.
And he's not in me. Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying.
He's up there somewhere.
He's going to come back later, up here sometime.
He's going to come back down here.
You better be ready for it. Isn't that the same thing as that, in a sense of that little camp that has all the little dudes inside?
Watching outside, same
and
thing.
And then they got the little dude coming and slitting their throats and telling them all kinds of stuff, and look out here, look up there for it. And it's like the thing's terrible. They're listening to the wrong voice.
Yeah.
Where was that again?
Which one?
Is that John 10, that my children will hear my voice in the voice of the
other? I'm on the exact verse. I'll tell you this second. I'll get it.
Oh, yeah, I could. I got this here that I didn't even look at. It's on the other program on there.
Okay. John 10.
Verse probably one.
There's one here that says, I say to you that he that enters not into the door, this is John 10, verse 1, that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then he goes forth, and the sheep puts forth his own sheep. He goes forth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Yep.
Okay.
That do it for you?
Yeah. Okay. I'm just grab getting my hooks into it.
Okay, it's all right. That's what you need to do.
Understand better, and it'll stick with you if you understand stuff. Memorizing all this other garbage is just superficial. It goes and comes, but if you understand something and can experience it, it'll stay with you better. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Those things need to be refreshed within us.
Yeah. Usually there's something that comes up, an obstacle that reminds you of that to be refreshed.
Yeah. We just quoted this. I knew I had this in the back of my Bible. The laws of thought. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. In the armory of thought, we forge the weapons we use to destroy ourselves. And we also fashion the tools we use to build up for ourselves heavenly mansions of joy and strength and peace. By the right choices and the true applications of our thoughts, we ascend to divine perfection. Or by the abuses and wrong applications of our thoughts, we descend to the lowest level of the beast. Between these two extremes are all grades of character, and we are their makers and masters.
We be the one, huh?
We be the one doing it.
We are creators.
Yeah. And I know the church don't believe that, but I don't care.
But you know, you can stop and, like you said about communicating with someone,
mm-hmm.
you can stop and ask them, all this stuff that you're creating, that you're feeling, like loneliness or whatever, you encourage that in yourself to be continue to create it, to be a greater thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they do see that, but then they walk away from it, do it all over again.
Yep, because they really didn't hear you. They give you what we call the Christian lie. You ask them a question, oh yeah, because they don't want to admit they don't know it.
They want the drama world.
Well, no, it's not that, I don't think. I think it's really the pride in humanity doesn't want to admit that they don't know something. They want to, look, I know everything, you know. That's where my belief it comes from the pride of the Adamic nature.
I think we've talked about the blow-up dolls. You know, that,
lots
that
of them.
Mentality.
Yep.
And this one individual that I met with recently, she's a great person. You see her keep falling back into